So my friend and brother in Christ, Barry Stagner, is back again, and I'm so happy you're here, Barry. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me again, Nancy. I love being on with you.
You know, I enjoy every time you come on. You're always filling my mind with something new. And so many people are watching you on right now. But this morning, and because it's Passover, it's happy Passover to anybody out there. Yes. Your good friend, Amir, had just put on his Telegram this, the front of the New York Post. And he said, you know, look at this, you know, Columbia rabbi warns Jewish students to stay home amid extreme anti-Semitism at campus. And then it says Ivy leave. So when you open it up, it's telling us all these different things. And you know what? This is Monday's edition of the New York Post. What is this telling you about anti-Semitism right now? Is anybody hearing this stuff? And I'm going to ask you that question, Barry, but I want to tell you, Columbia is on board with this stuff. Yale, Pratt, and the New School, just in this paper, God knows who else is coming on board with this. What do you think about that, Barry?
Well, since Amir put that up on Telegram, the Israeli professor, the Jewish professor at Columbia, had his access card deactivated, and two Palestinian professors are still allowed on campus. So, you know, this continues and it's growing, and we would expect to see this. It's just sad, I think, to see it here in the United States, but we have to recognize what Zechariah tells us in 12:3 about the whole world being against Jerusalem. And this isn't just at the national level. This is, I think the book of Revelation makes it quite clear that anti-Semitism is going to be a personal issue. It's not just simply that, you know, the UN or the United Nothing and these other groups are going to be anti-Semitic in their policies and resolutions, but individual people are going to be against the Jews. And of course, we have to remember, you know, the rebirth of the nation of Israel is pivotal to the last day's scenario and the prophetic narrative. And yet here we see things happening like what you're mentioning with these students all over these major campuses here in the U.S. And Nancy, one of the things I think we have to remember is many of these Ivy League schools started as seminaries, and now they've become these cesspools of misinformation, turning people against the truth. This age of deception that we're living in today has reached a new high, so to speak, and I should say a new low, maybe. But just watching these things happen reminds us that everything the Bible says is accurate. It's going to happen down to the specific details where individuals are turning against Israel, and collectively their one voice is going to be the demise of the Jews as their clarion call. And, you know, we're seeing on these campuses people, young people saying, "We are Hamas." And, you know, Nancy, I think the thing that's most bizarre about this is that, you know, most of these people are marching in gay pride parades, and yet they're supportive of a group that will and does kill people who are homosexual. And so the deception, the delusion today is just rampant, and it's reached levels unseen before here in our wonderful country.
Isn't it sad? It's so sad. And everything that's happening over there in Israel right now, people need to know those people are suffering too. They are suffering there. Do they realize that these people are just being, they're being pointed at, they're being, you know, ridiculed? I mean, it's just ramping up. So, you know, I would say, and I'm sure you would too, pray for Israel. They really need it. And pray for Amir too, because he's over there watching all this stuff. So I'm sure you've been in constant contact with him about this.
Well, you know, one of the hard things, I think, just of late, you know, because I know him, I know his family, I know his kids, to hear him, you know, ask for prayer for the three of his children, his adult children that are serving in the IDF. And, you know, his one son now, as he announced, I'm not saying anything that people don't know, is now in Gaza. And of course, that's frightening to consider that you have children there. But then you multiply that out to the other 7 million Jews and those who have children in the IDF. And one of the interesting things I heard recently, Nancy, was that, you know, when they call up reservists, there's a usually a percentage of people that actually report. Others, you know, offer medical excuses or travel, you know, this and that. But when Israel called up their reservists for what's going on right now, 100% of the reservists reported. And this is a nation that understands their role, their fight, the adversarial attitude of people around the world towards them, and this unity that God is bringing there, you know, is right on the heels of a great polarization that they were experiencing over judicial reform. And now we find a united Israel. And I believe this is in preparation for what's coming. And there are other things behind this that the Bible clearly prophesies. And I think we're on the cusp of seeing many of them materialize.
Which and what is triggering the Ezekiel 38 war? Is that doing it?
Absolutely. I think one, you know, watching this animosity, and one of the things I think we as Bible-believing Christians need to recognize is that at the end of the opening statements of the Olivet Discourse, where Jesus was talking about many of the things that are going to happen during the fulfillment of the 70th week of Daniel, or the Great Tribulation, as we call it, he closed the opening statements in Matthew 24, 3-8, with one single phrase, that these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, you could rightfully translate that as the commencement of birth pangs. And so if we're going to be watching a birth pang-like progression, then we would expect things near the end of that progression to start happening fast and becoming more intense. Mm-hmm. And these labor pains, so to speak, happening closer together. And I think that's really where we're at right now on the prophetic timeline, is that we are about to, or I should say the world, is about to enter into the time of the heavy labor portion, where the world is finally delivered into the millennium and the reign of Christ here on earth. But one of the components, I believe, that is probably one or two steps down the line in the prophetic scenario is the Ezekiel war. And we're seeing things move to a level where they've not yet been in the history of the nation of Israel and their regathering. We see the Iranians, just for the very first time in their history, launch from their own soil a missile and rocket and drone attack on the nation of Israel. This is unprecedented, and that is exactly what we would expect to be seeing. And you've got, you know, Turkey making statements against Israel and their anti-American rhetoric and the things that they've been talking about, and their relationship and Iran's relationship with Russia strengthening, and all these things happening simultaneously and rapidly, tell us that we could very possibly see the beginning of the Ezekiel war at any moment. Now, I personally believe that most likely the chronology of events would be the destruction of Damascus is what finally ignites the kickoff of the Ezekiel war. You know, we've got Damascus in the news almost as frequently as Iran and Turkey and the other nations that are going to invade Israel. And we've got constant efforts on the part of the Iranians, especially, to get some type of device or hardware closer to Israel in order to attack Israel from the north, the very direction that God said he's going to put a hook in the jaw of the invading nations and draw them down from. And, you know, if you look at what just happened in Iran, you know, here you've got a 1,000-kilometer launch of drones, which fly at a very low speed. And the whole scenario was basically to save face for the Ayatollah, because he'd spoken so much about retaliation for the killing of the generals in Damascus and all that. And, you know, so he had to do something in order to show himself to be strong in the eyes of the people and their supporters. And, you know, watching this happen, it was kind of like shooting ducks in a barrel or fish in a barrel, you know, for Israel to pick off these drones, these low speed drones. You know, the missiles were another story. You know, that's a high speed missile that the Arrow defense system protected Israel from. But we cannot discount the God factor in helping them shoot down 99% of these. But I believe it's quite possible that the destruction of Damascus could be from Iranian efforts to get some type of nuclear device, be it a dirty bomb or even a warhead, in Damascus, so they could have a closer launch site into Israel and a better assurance of causing a mass casualty event. But Israel, because of their information and because God is defending them, you know, could possibly find out, blow up that device, and Damascus become a ruinous heap, which emboldens Turkey, Iran, Russia, Sudan, and Libya to invade Israel from the north.
Mm. Boy, all I keep thinking is, I want to see what God's going to do next.
We know what he's going to do when the Ezekiel invasion happens. He's going to destroy those invading armies, leaving them dead on the mountains of Israel, taking 7 months to bury the dead. And so, you know, God is going to stand up. And, you know, he says so in Zechariah. He tells in the last day scenario, the tribulation scenario, that he's going to fight as he fights in the day of battle in Zechariah 12 to 14. So no question we're seeing a shift in world events, the primary focus becoming on the nation of Israel, Israel becoming a burdensome stone to all the nations of the world. But God is acting on their behalf. And he's going to move from a defensive posture to the offensive posture. And he's going to begin to fight, not just defend, but he's going to fight. And I love, you know, every once in a while, just taking a read through Job chapter 38 and 39 and looking at some of the things that the Lord said to Job in his questioning of Job and saying, hey, where were you when I set the boundaries of the sea, and these other things that he mentions in those beautiful chapters. And he asked Job, have you seen the treasury of hail that I have reserved for the time of the end? And we have to remember that, you know, when God says he fights as he fights, he doesn't need puny little nuclear weapons and things of that nature. And even I think looking at the Revelation chapter 16, the bowl judgments, the final judgment, we're told about hailstones, each of them the weight of a talent. And, you know, a talent of silver is 100 pounds. A talent of gold is 200 pounds. So I believe that, you know, God obviously would use the gold measurement, I think. And so you've got 200-pound hailstones. And the interesting thing is that at that particular plague or judgment, we're told it was exceedingly great. Now, this is after a comet strikes the earth and a meteor strikes the earth. And, you know, the third of the fish of the sea and all the green grass are burned up and the fresh water supply is poisoned. But that particular judgment is labeled as distinct from all the others. And men cursed and blasphemed God because of it. So when God fights on your behalf, you've got battle armaments that no man has ever seen. And this is how Israel is going to be defended by God himself.
Amen. Amen. You know, it was, as you're talking, I'm also thinking about all the people that, you know, they know that the time of the end is coming. You know, nobody knows the day or the hour, but they're all prepping. What are you prepping for? Why don't you prep to know more about God? Yeah. Know more about God, who he is in your life, who is going to defend you? Not the world. God is going to defend you. So you have want to speak into anybody's life right there, Pastor?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I did an interview last week on a radio station where the host was actually a board member for a website called gotquestions.org. A very great website, lots of resources there and good answers to biblical questions. And he mentioned that there, since October 7th, there are 15,000 people per day asking about how to be saved. 15,000 people. So, you know, people understand something's going on. What is this with Israel? And, you know, of course, you know, Satan is going to deceive the nations. He's going to continue to sow discord and hatred for the Jews and all the other things. But, you know, people are wondering, and because they know to some degree that Israel's got some particular place in the heart of God that is distinct from other people on the earth. And, you know, Israel is going to be saved at the end of the tribulation period, at least the one third of the Jews who survive. And that's one of the tragic things about it. You know, and Amir and I talk about this when we teach at conferences. You know, it's a horrid thing for him to consider that two thirds of his fellow Jews are going to die during the tribulation, but they're going to die in unbelief. And the one third that are supernaturally protected by God are going to look upon the one whom they pierced and mourn for him as one mourns for the only son, for an only son. And, you know, Nancy, we're watching all these things unfold and kind of back to the Ezekiel war scenario. I believe that that could actually start before the rapture. Mm-hmm. I believe that we could see the beginning of the Ezekiel war. Now, I don't believe that we'll see the end of the Ezekiel war. And I say that because of how God responds, which is more consistent with the events of post-rapture or or during the tribulation. So, you know, I think if we're watching the people make these alliances and covenant together and, you know, have that shared animosity toward Israel, now becoming more aggressive militarily and not just using the, you know, the rhetoric and the verbal saber rattling, but if we're seeing an advancement of that, we need to be looking up and looking for that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I say that for this reason. And it's not just so we can get out of here, although that's going to be great. It'd be nice to be in the presence of the Lord. But we need to realize the shortness of time, that the night is far spent and the day is at hand. And we need to have a desperation for lost and perishing people around us. And we need to act like there's a Calvary pastor that put it so succinctly some years ago. I heard him say, you know, if you believe that Jesus could come at any moment, then act like it. And I think it's time to act like we believe that the Lord could come and take us to where he is at any moment and just have a broken heart for what's happening around us and the multitudes of people we know that are currently perishing without Christ.
Yes, and so many. But you know what? There are so many. As you, you know, it gives me hope to hear that 15,000 people a day want to know how to be saved. That gives me hope. And I'm sure that gives you hope, too, when you heard that. It's just a miracle the way the Holy Spirit works in people's lives, right?
You just never know. You know, one of the things that I've talked to people about who are praying for prodigals and family members to come to know Christ is we need to remember that you don't have to see progress for God to be moving. Mm-hmm. He moves in the unseen realm. He's working in the night hours. You know, he works 24/7, 365. He is always drawing people to himself, and you just never know what happened with the words that you shared. And that's why, you know, I've told people, you know, just throw the seeds out there. You're not responsible for the response. You're only responsible for the sowing of the seed. So you may see, you know, some type of negative reaction. You may see rejection. You may see family members who say, you know, I don't want to hear your religious garbage or nonsense or your God stuff. But you don't know what God's doing with that. When they're laying in bed at night, or difficulty comes their way, or tragedy strikes their home, you know, they're going to think about those words that are truth and that truth that makes people free. So, you know, I think a lot of times we get caught up in a success measure instead of just a sowing responsibility. And that's all God asks of us. We can't save anybody, but we do have the message that does save.
That's right. Absolutely. And there's something that we all can do. And no matter who's out there and who's listening, even if you, what if you're watching this, you don't agree, but you know what? Maybe there's something inside you that questions this. Why don't you ask God, what is the truth? And what am I hearing? Is this the truth? And God will answer you if you are sincere in asking him, not fighting him about it, but asking him that question. And you know, that's sometimes right. If you're yelling at God, this is what you do. But God needs to know that you care. Go to him, ask him for truth. That's where you're going to get it. And like the truth about God, right? The truth about God, that's
amen.
You. So I guess one of the questions I wanted to ask you before we part ways is, do current global events mirror the Bible's description in Ezekiel 38? Does it mirror it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're watching the development of, you know, as I mentioned a moment ago, not just the coalition forces being united in their animosity toward Israel, but things have gone next level. Now we've got more aggressive things happening. You know, the Iranian first, the unprecedented attack from Iranian soil. You know, we had Russia in the midst of all this say to the world, if you will militarily respond to Iran, we're going to get in the game. I mean, that's not a veiled threat. That's a direct threat that they'll launch into World War III or whatever it's going to lead to. So, you know, we definitely have the wars and rumors of wars element of this being manifested in our world today. But I think most specifically, what we're seeing is a development of things that are going to be fulfilled during the tribulation. And that's what I think is the most important thing for us to recognize. And that gives us a bit of a proximity or a marker, if you will, as to how close we really are. Now, you know, one of the things I think that people often like to throw out there is no man knows the day or the hour. And that's true. We don't know the day or the hour. We don't know when the Lord's going to come for his church. We don't know when that the great catching away is going to take place. But we have to remember that Jesus didn't stop there in the Olivet Discourse. He said, no man knows the day or the hour, but as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And then he talked about the likeness to the last days, to the days of Noah. So if we go back and we look at the days of Noah, where violence filled the earth, the thoughts and intents of man's heart was only evil continually. The whole earth was corrupt before God, and God was sorry that he had made man and therefore brought about global judgment. So, you know, we're watching that scenario unfold, Nancy, right in front of us today, where the world is filled with violence, and violence has taken over just common people. And, you know, I read an article some time ago that there are now 2.4 million Americans who believe and state that they would kill to advance their political position.
That's
in the United States of America. 2.4 million Americans would be willing to kill to protect or advance their political stance. Now, the article went on to try and soften the blow by saying, but of those surveyed, there were 180 million Americans who said they would never even dream of taking another person's life to advance their political position. But that still leaves 2.4 million who have become so deluded and so enamored with advancing their particular narrative that they'd kill other people to do it. And this, I think, is so important for us to recognize, because that's exactly what's going to take place during the tribulation. The people, the earth dwellers, the Bible calls them, are going to be worshiping the dragon and the Antichrist, or the first beast, and they're going to be complicit in the deaths of anyone who refuses to mark. The mark the beast. And this tells us that this requires a mentality before the tribulation that will ultimately be fulfilled during the tribulation, of having a willingness to kill in order to protect your position, or attack anyone who disagrees with your position. I mean, think about what happened during COVID. We had people saying, if you don't get the jab, you shouldn't have medical care or be admitted to the hospital. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is that mentality. It's not as though it's coming. It's already here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. People are just, and they're heeding to it, right? They're heeding to it. This is just an experiment. Yeah. And, you know, for what's really coming in the future. So, yeah, we have to stand strong in Christ. And I thank you for everything you're telling the audience today, because they really need to know about it. And if anybody is looking for, you know, the thing that gets you into this time of the signs, it's this book, The Time of the Signs. Okay. And Barry wrote it. And I think that you get this book, because it's on Amazon. You can get it there. You can go to Barry's website, barrystagner.com. And Amir has put a forward on it for him and everything. They're good buddies, and they just, you know, they talk to each other. They know what he knows what's going on in Israel all the time. Barry does. So it's just great. So you can also follow Barry on Instagram. You can follow him on Facebook. And watch his YouTube channel, The Truth About God. Now, he had just had one on last week, and if you didn't see it, you gotta watch it. Barry, talk about that Tucker quickly, that Tucker episode that you did, and you talked to the audience about that.
Well, Tucker Carlson interviewed a Palestinian pastor who has a history of anti-Semitic comments, and he basically gave Tucker a series of I'm just going to say untrue statements and statistics about Israel, and how Israel, you know, has expelled Palestinians, and that there were, one of the statements he made was there were millions of Palestinians living in what Israel now occupies in 1948. And that's just a blatant lie. That's not true. And when the British Mandate ended, it was numbered at 950,000. So there weren't millions of people there. And, you know, he just went through just a series of things that were either just flat out lies or misrepresentations of truth. And, you know, sadly, Nancy, Tucker just bought into it all hook, line, and sinker. And, you know, one of the things I think that we have to remember when we get presented with things like this is that 1 Corinthians 2:14 says the natural man cannot discern the things of God because they're spiritual, nor can he know them. And Tucker Carlson proved that he didn't have any idea what the Bible actually teaches about the nation of Israel by being in agreement with this man who kind of is the point man for a meeting called Christ at the Checkpoint every year in Israel, which is basically, you know, a pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel position that supposedly Christians will take. And, you know, Nancy, the Jews are God's chosen people. He has not cast them off. And, you know, the church is God's chosen people as well. The Bible says that we are chosen and called. The Jews are God's chosen people by birth. We are God's chosen people by faith. And the church is not, has not replaced Israel, will not replace Israel. Israel is Israel, and the church is the church. And I would encourage you to watch that. I don't often do those kind of things that where, you know, I purposely rebut something that was said by a national media figure, but this was just too much. It was just beyond the pale. And we need to know the truth about the nation of Israel in the last days.
Wonderful. And what is the name of that episode? And I'm also going to put it in the description box.
It should be like first or second or second or third up in line, of the videos that are there, of the most recent videos. I just did it, I think it was last week.
Thanks for watching. Share your thoughts on our conversation by putting your comments below and visit the call with nancysebado.com to learn more about me and what we do here on the ministry. Don't forget to like and subscribe and share. Your support means so much to us. What sound?